A willing heart.
Beginning in the 11th verse of 2 Corinthians 8, we read, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which we have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And notice how the apostle puts this here. And isn't it the character of our God? How just, how loving, how understanding, how merciful he is. That if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The Heavenly Father doesn't expect more than we are able to perform. How we are drawn to a God of that kind. He knows the weakness of our condition, and he has provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the robe of his righteousness. He provided the redemption for us. And in due time for the whole world of mankind. But how wonderful to worship and serve a God of that kind. But it's on the basis of a willing mind. And we use the expression heart for the deepest convictions of our mind, of our will, of our purpose. So we'd like to turn back to Exodus, the 25th chapter, for a little while, and consider the words of the Lord to Moses and the words of Moses to the children of Israel in connection with the building of the tabernacle, which we know was a type of the church in the flesh. Brother Stanley touched upon the type of the temple, Solomon, the temple of Solomon built. This is a type of the church in glory. But now, beginning with Exodus, the 25th chapter, in the first verse, we read these words. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. He shall take my offering." You and I have heard the words of the Lord through the psalmist, where he asked, "My son, give me thine heart." And those of us that have responded to this in complete and whole and unreserved consecration to do the will of the Lord, to the best of our ability, as he guides and directs and overrules, have been accepted of the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. And he has received us. And he is pleased to receive us as his sons and his daughters in Christ Jesus. But it must be upon the basis of a willing heart. And then he continues. And he suggests the things that they could bring for the tabernacle. It was gold and silver and yarns of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And there were hides of hair. And there was shittim or acacia wood. There was oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for sweet incense. And there was precious and semi-precious stones for the breastplate and the ephod. And the eighth verse says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so, shall ye make. And as we think of these different things, we're thinking of the attributes of character and the willing heart that's necessary for us to walk in God's appointed ways to eventually, as the brethren have been bringing out, to be prepared for a place in His heavenly kingdom where we might share with our Lord in the blessing of all the families of the earth. And help them to walk up that wonderful highway of holiness so that they too can return to the image and likeness of the one who created them. Return to the family of God, eventually standing as perfect human beings before Him. Each one a king in his own right. Each one a son of God. Each one able to receive all the blessings that a loving and wise Heavenly Father has in reservation for those who eventually will love Him with a whole heart. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, we have the 10 commandments given us, and these were mentioned earlier already today. In Exodus 20, in verse 3, we read the first of it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water underneath, under the earth. Thou shalt have no other God before me. We hear Jesus saying in Matthew 16:33, seeking first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And then the second commandment, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, that is, any graven images of the likeness of anything else. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Yet, He wants nothing to stand between Himself and our proper comprehension and knowledge of Him. Whom to know is life eternal. You remember how our Lord Jesus in John 17 chapter in the third verse said, this is life eternal, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou sent Him to the world. Nothing to stand in between, but that we might come to the true knowledge of Him. An exact knowledge of Him, full discernment of His glorious character, whom to know aright is to love, and as already expressed here, those whom we love, we desire to worship or serve and be close to. So He says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but on the other hand, showing mercy unto thousands, and we think the thought is unto thousands of generations or forever, unto them that love me and keep my commandments. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, verse 24, we read, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. Those that were in the land that the Lord was going to drive out before them as they entered into the land of Canaan, nor do after their work, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Then he begins to outline all the things that He would do for them if they would faithfully serve Him and keep His commandments. be separate. Those family brought out. You're not to leave that position and those special relationships to God. And so it is with us. We have received the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And with a willing heart, we have received those things which have brought us thus far. With a willing heart, we want to continue in the work. In the 111th Psalm, we're told that reverence for the Lord is the beginning of which the first reads, the fear or the respect or reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise and glory forever. In the first verse of the next psalm is appropriate. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears or reverences the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And so we want to know his will, that we may be instructed of him, and that we may seek to do his will. And as he leads us along the way, that we see more clearly. We see our thoughts more clearly, and we want to see them. Perhaps there was a time when we didn't like to have our thoughts called to our attention. But now he has put it in our hearts through the operation of the Holy Spirit. We want to know our thoughts, that we might strive against them. And at the same time as we see our own faults more clearly, we're able to look back and sympathize with the world and realize why they cannot see these things, why they do not appreciate these things the same way. And so, from the appreciation of our own imperfect condition, as we see the perfect example of Christ, then we are able to exercise tolerance and understanding. And so in our heart begins to grow that spirit of mercy and compassion which God has shown toward us. For he loved us while we were yet sinners and sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to manifest his love for us and for all the children of men. Coming to the 36th chapter of Exodus, in the 6th verse, we read, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord." Now here, we're coming back to this offering for the tabernacle again. "Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and all the various things that we mentioned before." And then, the 10th verse reads, "And every wise-hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded." Notice the association between the willing heart and the wise heart. In the 's a connection and relationship. Reverence for the God is the beginning of wisdom. And so if we have a willing heart in coming to him, then as we continue in those ways, we learn to know and discern his will and his character more clearly, and we're able to lay hold upon his wisdom. And so you hear the brethren saying, "Well, the Lord's willing will do this." We have the privilege of going to him in prayer. We seek his guidance and direction in every important decision. And Brother Stanley tells us we'll have to make decisions, and we will. And those decisions will not always be easy decisions. Sometimes they will not be easy from the standpoint of the flesh. Sometimes they will not be easy from the standpoint of spiritual things. And sometimes we'll go to the Lord on our knees, and we cry out to the Lord, and we ask his guidance and his direction
It may not even be for ourselves, it may be for our brethren. And every wild hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. In the 21st verse, we have to skip along. And it came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his church, and for all the holy garments. Now, the great work of this age is the bride making herself ready, isn't it? The world is to be blessed in the next age through Christ and the bride. And so here, this is what this is picturing. And who stirred up our hearts? So the Heavenly Father, through abounding to us the knowledge of His truth, the knowledge of His character, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior's wonderful and perfect example and willing and obedient sacrifice, He stirred up our hearts so that we came willingly. Jesus said that any that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. It would come that way. And He has. There's not a one in this room that's been walking in the way for a long time that isn't still rejoicing, that doesn't realize that it was the most wonderful decision, the most logical decision, the wisest decision that we ever made in our life, to walk in the way of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 22 reads, and they came. Notice it repeats that in verse 21 and 22. The Lord's work is going to be accomplished in His people. He is going to complete the work of picking out a people for His name, as we have in Acts 3, what is it, the 18th chapter, 15th chapter. He is going to complete the bride of Christ, the church. They are going to be associated with Him. And they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered offer an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man, that's man or woman, mankind, with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found chittim or acacia wood or any work of his work brought them. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. Yes, the fine linen, clean and bright, is the righteousness of sin. The purple representing the royalty, which will eventually be the privilege of the bride of Christ at His side. And all the stones, you remember that the stones in the breastplate, the character attributes that are shown with which the foundation of the holy city was garnished, as we find in the Revelation picture. All these things. And the spice, the oil for the light, and for the holy anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, all those things, the Lord tribute them to bring. And they brought them with willing hearts. The children, verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing, to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And then, notice in the 34th verse, how, well, let's, we won't skip down, we'll read the 31st verse. 30th verse. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Notice the willing heart, and again, the wisdom is brought into play here, showing God's blessing, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. Now, it doesn't say that Bezalel had all these qualities. What does it say? It says, and he, God, hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in workmanship. So it is with us. We continue on in the way. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not to our glory, but to his glory. For our ultimate glory and great benefit, which we are saved. And then he continues. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. He has put it in their heart to teach. Then has he built with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work and so forth, and to teach others to do. And so it is that we are able to nourish one another as we seek to walk in God's appointed way. Beginning of the 36th chapter, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Don't you like the way he says, every one, the text that my father liked and put the emphasis upon it this way, was the one in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for God has set the members in the body, every one of them, as it has pleased him. I like that emphasis. And this says the same thing. Every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord has put with him, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. The Lord knows them that are his. And he will work with every one with a willing heart and wise-hearted towards him. And these thoughts continue. They're mentioned again in the 4th verse. They're mentioned down in Exodus 36 and the 8th verse. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made the curtains and so forth, the various things. All the work of the tabernacle. Now, in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, getting along toward the end of David's life, you remember how desirous David was to build a temple for the Lord. But the Lord made known to him that the temple would be built by Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 28 and 9, we read David's words to Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And so we also want to take courage and be faithful in continuing on in the way. As we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 12, and let's turn back there for just a moment. According as a man has, not according as he hath not. Earlier in this chapter, the apostle called attention in the 9th verse to our Lord and to that which he gave up as the Logos, as the Word. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. According as a man hath, not according as he hath not. Our Lord had a great deal to give up. From point of seniority, he was the first to the Father, the only begotten of the Father. He had worked with the Father in all the subsequent works of creation. He had always been an obedient son, who was next to the Father, therefore, in all these things, and whose delight was in the children of men. But he became poor, as we through his poverty might be rich. And so then, it is for this thought that he says, if there be first a willing mind. Our Lord indicated he had a willing mind, and he was faithful unto death. According that a man has, and he has perfect humanity to give, as our Lord Jesus. And not according to that, he has not. But the Lord provides us the covering of the robe of Christ's righteousness. He knows our frame, and we are but dust. But he also offers every assistance to help us walk and go the appointed way. Coming to the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, we have David's word unto the congregation. And then 1 Chronicles 29 and 1, we read, furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And we know that this temple was to be and was a type of the church in glory, as we mentioned earlier. We find that in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, where the apostle makes this application for us. Speaking to the brethren, including both Jew and Gentile, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In the 132nd Psalm, we find these prophetic words which reveal to us God's attitude toward the church, Christ's head and body. Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And Paul says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. How wonderful. Church and glory will be the meeting place between God and mankind through all the glorious work of the millennial age. With the great company, with all the holy angels, with the resurrected perfect angels worthy to bless all the families of the earth. that which the world needs so great. The last of the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles, we read David's further words to Solomon. Verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the works of the service of the house of the Lord. What a wonderful promise that is, that God's work will be completed in his people. And then, he told them of the help that he would have. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people, will be holy at thy command. Yes? We're told that his grace will be sufficient for us, and that he that has begun a good work in us will complete it, to fulfill it to the end, and the day of Christ appears. Now, we may be discouraged from time to time. We may feel that we're not the material that God can use for this work. We'd like to turn for a moment to 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. You know that David was the type of the church in the flesh. And as the type of the church in the flesh, he was also a type of our Lord, who was the head of that church in a particular way. The name David means beloved. You remember what the voice from heaven said when Jesus came to John at Jordan? This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, David was being chased by Saul, whose heart had turned against the Lord due to his disobedience. And while David had been anointed to be king in his room, Saul was seeking the life of David, and David had to flee for his life. And so the church in the flesh has severe experiences. But notice this, if we think that God cannot work with us, and Satan would get the thin edge of the web to discourage from him to separate us from the Lord. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now notice the kind of people that gathered to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men, just a little band compared to Saul and all his folks. And as you read these things, you think of those that gathered together to David, and you think of the apostles' words in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many of the nobility that God is here are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That all the glory of the accomplishments would be the Heavenly Father. as the brethren have already thrown out, in Ephesians 2 and 7, that through the ages of the ages, God's name might be glorified in His marvelous grace toward us, the little people of earth. Not the great and the mighty of earth. That according as it is written, He that is glorious, that in glory in the Lord. And the apostle explains in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we can trust Him to accomplish all this good work. And so, in conclusion, we read the words of the apostle Peter in the 1st of Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Heed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A willing mind, a ready mind, with alacrity and willingness. May the Lord help us so to do. For while those temples and the tabernacle were something being built, it could be seen. That which the Lord is trusting us to build and is building as we become workers together with Him is unseen, but will be eternal in the heavens. May the Lord help us to go to do. This work will be completed. Brother Stanley spoke of the text in Revelation of a pillar in the temple of the Lord, and we'd like to turn for just a moment to the Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Again, for our comfort, that this work will be completed. Proverbs 9, beginning with verse 1, wisdom hath built their house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars, and we believe that would be the complete number of pillars necessary for the temple. She has filled her beef, she has mingled her wine, she has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple or humble, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. When God has completed His work in the church of this age, together with the Lord, He'll have the privilege of saying that to the whole world of mankind. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. May the Lord help us to have a willing heart and be faithful from day to day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.